It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Singing comes easy to my guest, who started at the age of 7, but he also wears multiple hats as a recording artist, vocal coach, and tour manager. He moved from New Jersey to Los Angeles and then to Las Vegas, where he's been performing for several years now. Well, actually more than several years. We're going to talk about how many years in a second. Mark Giovi will be performing at Maxon Jazz this Thursday, July 3rd. And for more information, go to maxonjazz.com. For everything about Mark, you can follow him on Facebook. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to be here. A quick note for our listeners and viewers outside of Las Vegas, too, that you were a guest on the show when you were part of the Three Tenors. So if you could give us a little bit of your background, and then we can talk about your current stint in Las Vegas, which you never stopped working.
No, well, thank God. Right. I grew up in New Jersey, started singing in bands when I was 17 years old. But before that, I actually started singing with my dad. My father was a professional singer his whole life and musician. And we used to have a nightclub restaurant called Giovi's. And first time I ever sang in public was with his band when I was like 8 or 9 years old. So but then I got into rock and roll, grew my hair long. I was a heavy metal guy. traveled around. Yeah, you can see some videos on YouTube with my hair down in my waist about. So
now, but, now your hair is on the carpet.
Now it's just falling out. Yeah, it happens, right? But I had a great time doing that. Moved out to Los Angeles, performed out there for many years. Then I was I became a tour manager and a vocal coach for a major recording artist. A kid named Aaron Carter.
I know the name, yeah.
Traveled the world doing that with Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, all the pop stuff. And that was a lot of fun. I did that for almost 9 years. Then got married, moved out here in Las Vegas. And it was very difficult at first to get any type of work, not just singing work. But finally, I got a job singing in a show called Bite, which was a vampire, classic rock, and topless show. So it was quite interesting. I had to sing with fangs in my mouth.
If memory serves, we got the creator of that show on the show on our podcast a couple of years ago.
Tim Molyneux. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So,
well, what brought you to Las Vegas though initially? Because I mentioned in the beginning, and you mentioned as well, you're going from New Jersey to Los Angeles to Las Vegas. So what drew you to Las Vegas? Was there a particular thing?
Well, yeah, when I got married, then we were going to start a family. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't have to travel so much. So we moved out here so I could sing at night and then come home.
Right.
That's basically what the plan was. We didn't know if that was going to really happen or not, but we made it work, actually. And I got into a show. I was in Bite for 6.5 years and did that. Then I was with the Las Vegas Tenors, where you interviewed us back then. Mm-hmm. And I've just been doing a lot of solo stuff since then.
I always thought of you as one of those evergreen performers. And what I mean by that is there is a group of people in Las Vegas who, and I've been here a long time, but who are always working, always performing. They're just part of the fabric of Las Vegas. And there just always seems to be availability or openings. Once they know who you are and become aware of you, then it's, if it's not steady work, it's relatively steady work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've been very blessed with that. A lot of hard work, a lot of learning different material. I mean, I do everything from heavy metal to opera. So, that helps as well, because being versatile, you can get called for different gigs. You're not you're not pigeonholed in just one little genre. So that helps with the amount of work that I can get.
Do you remember who the first person you met in Las Vegas was in the entertainment business that had an impact on you?
Well, when I first moved here in 2004, I was friends with a performer who had just recently moved here from Los Angeles, a guy named Joey Gion. And he was an actor who moved here to sing. He was in 90210 and Knots Landing and that kind of thing back in the day. And then he wanted to move out here to sing. So when I moved out here, he introduced me to some people. And the first place that I performed was at the Bootlegger. Because he was performing there and he let me get up and sing on his night. And then I would come in on Sonny King's night. I don't know if you remember Sonny King.
Oh, I do very well. Yes,
yeah. Absolutely. He was so nice to me. Great, great guy. And then Kelly Clinton's night. Mm-hmm. Then now I'm the manager of the Bootlegger. I manage the restaurant. So it's sort of weird how it sort of...
Yes, you're right. It is. And you're a jack of all trades because you're managing and you're singing and you're performing in other venues as well. So that works out really well for you. Yeah, the Bootlegger is a great place because it features a lot of talent on a regular basis there. And it's a good hang to use the vernacular in that too.
Yeah.
How do you balance it with, because you have to have there are performers that I've talked with who are excellent in performing, but have no idea how to manage a business or a restaurant or a lounge or a showroom. They couldn't do it because it's not in their wheelhouse. And it says, you're able to, you mentioned the versatility earlier, but your versatility initially was in genres of music, but you're also on the business side being able to function. So where did that come from? Was there something in your background?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I grew up in the restaurant business. My grandparents started it. They opened a restaurant. We sat 300 people. It was a big place. We had it in the family for 46 years, and they actually started it. So my father had a place to perform when he wasn't on the road. So that was the reason why they did that. And I grew up there learning. I mean, I first started, you know, washing dishes, making salads, desserts, this and that and whatever. And then you know, work the floor and the bartending. I sort of learned everything there. And then I started singing. So then I was singing with my dad at the restaurant. So I grew up there. Even when I moved out to Los Angeles, my first job out there was working for a restaurant as a maitre d'. So a few years ago, I acquired something called spasmodic dysphonia. A lot of people don't know that name, don't know what it is, but I lost my voice for a year because, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr., mm-hmm. right? He has spasmodic dysphonia. That's why he talks the way he talks. Now, I acquired the same thing. Mine is not as severe as his, thank the Lord. But because of that, I was trying to find out what was wrong. They found out what was wrong. There was a method to try to fix it. There's no cure for this thing. If there was, he would have done it because he's a millionaire. So,
oh yeah, he could easily find
it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he could get it fixed if he wanted to, but he can't. There's no cure. But what they did was they put Botox into the neck to what it is. It's a neurological disorder that affects the muscles in the neck. So the muscles don't move the vocal cords correctly. So that's why I sound rough sometimes when I talk. But they did this Botox treatment and it had the reverse effect on me. Like I could talk, but I couldn't sing a note. And I had to basically wait a year for that to wear off so I couldn't sing. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't work. So one of the places that I was performing when this happened, the gentleman that owns it said to me, "Hey, you know, you grew up in the restaurant business. I need a manager. You need work because you're not singing. You're not able to sing.
Right.
Do you want to manage my restaurant?" And I was like, "Yes," because I was out of work. I was, you know, so I started doing that for him. And then it just, you know, I'm like, you know, this is great because I have a full-time job. I can still sing at night. And that's what it led up to. That's where I'm at now.
So your voice, it's interesting, because of the effect of the Botox, you could speak, but you just couldn't sing.
Right. I couldn't even sing What a Wonderful World. And this treatment is supposed to fix that. And I went to the number one vocal doctor, ENT in the country. Mm-hmm. He was the head of Johns Hopkins University. He did the treatments. I had to go up to Portland, Oregon to get this done. And it completely wiped me out. I couldn't sing, nothing. It was just coming out garble.
How long ago was this, Mark?
This was 2017 or 18, something like that.
You had to go for a year without being able to sing.
Oh, yeah. It was a whole year that I couldn't do anything. I mean, they even did benefit concerts for me to raise money to help pay for bills and stuff like that. This community here in Las Vegas is...
It is. Absolutely.
Quite amazing. Yeah. Quite amazing. Quite supportive.
But then your voice came back because the year passed.
Well, yeah, it came back, but I had to learn how to sing differently because it's still not gone. So I had to figure out new things and how to figure out stuff. So I had to learn how to sing a little differently, hit notes a little differently, hit the vowels a little differently, but I did it myself.
But clearly it's working because, as I mentioned, you're at the Maxim Jazz this Thursday, July 3rd, and you're going to and I know there's you're also going to be performing at the Italian American Club
on July 13th. It's Sunday, July 13th.
So yeah. How long did it take you to figure out the workaround for that? Because you couldn't.
Well, another year. I mean, it was basically 2 years that I was.
I didn't realize that it had been that big of a struggle. I didn't realize that it happened that much because I had.
No, it was a nightmare. I mean, imagine, you know, a painter or an artist that can't use his hand. I mean, that's what it was. It was like, you know, I couldn't sing. I couldn't do what my God-given gift was. And I was pretty depressed at that point.
Did you know that you were going to get better? I mean, the doctor said it would take about a year or.
No, they had no idea because they thought it was going to work. Because there are people with this spasmodic dysphonia that come to him, get these shots in the neck, and they're able to sing on Broadway. They're able to sing opera. But for me, it had a weird reverse effect on it.
So in other words, you at that time, because I was on the impression you said it would take about a year, that maybe the doctor said that, but you really didn't know. It just came back in roughly a year.
Right.
To work on learning to sing a different way.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was totally up in the air. I had no idea. That's why I was like, scrambling for to try to figure out a new career at that point.
Yeah. You know? Well, the fact that you had the background in the restaurant industry, because that I guess that's in people's blood. I've always amazed how.
Oh, it takes a special person to do that.
It really does. Because I was thinking about that. I had a discussion with that the other day. Because I look at it, people starting restaurants all the time. They're opening up restaurants. They're, you know, some close, some open, some last a long, long time. But the amount of, I'll call it labor involved, the number of moving parts involved, it's worse than a show in a way.
Oh, God. Oh, yes, it is.
It has to be because it's everything from making sure the table's set to the thing is cooked right to dealing with customers that are complaining that the food isn't quite right, making sure you have enough food on hand. Specialties here, people not coming in because they're sick that day. So you got
to
go.
Well, yeah. 50 different personalities working for you, servers. And kitchen help.
Exactly. And then also the margins aren't that strong. At least I don't think they are. So you're putting all that effort, is you clearly have to have a love for that kind of a business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoy talking to people.
Right.
I enjoy meeting people from out of town, finding out where they're from, telling them about where I'm from. And I just enjoy that. So that's part of the business that I love.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're a people person. Because I've seen that too. Where in a restaurant, what sets the tone is how you're greeted and how you're said goodbye to when you leave. And so many restaurants fail on those two little things. They're not little, they're big.
But that actually just happened to me somewhere. I won't say where, but I asked which it came out to be the owner. I didn't know that it was a guy standing behind the host stand. I said, can I see a menu? And he said, oh, they're over there. He made me go get it myself. Amazing. I was like,
yeah, amazing.
Wow. I was like, I would go out of my way to go get that for somebody and bring it back. He didn't care. But
and it's a little thing too. But even when you have a wonderful meal, you've been greeted properly. When you leave, if there's nobody there to say thank you, have a good evening, that just puts the
top. It's a little bummer. Yeah, it's a little bummer.
Exactly. I just had a great title for you, Mark. I got a new title for you. Instead of the singing waiter, the singing manager. What do you think?
Well, that's funny that you said that because I actually was talking to somebody about going to school to be a sommelier. Learn because I love wine, right? So think about it. I could be the singing sommelier.
I like that too.
Right? Well, that has a little better ring.
Here's a question though. If you can't really, could you drink the wine because the dryness of the wine, is that good for your throat?
Oh, no, wine's fine. Yeah, wine's fine.
Okay.
Anything, you know, you don't want to abuse anything, but if you have a glass of wine, it's fine.
When you look at the your typical week, which is working but also singing, do you find you have enough time for just yourself, I guess, in the sense that between working during the day, singing at night, that there's a little bit of you that you can just relax and not do anything?
Yes, because I make sure I have that. Over the last year or so, I've been working 40 hours a week at the restaurant. But I've been singing 3 to sometimes 5 nights a week as well.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, but those other days that I have off, I make sure that I have nothing to do, or I go to the movies or I go out to dinner and just enjoy. Because some days I just want to come home and lay in bed and put a movie on and sleep. You know, that's what we need that every now and then.
Yeah.
But I make sure of that.
It's called balance, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to do that.
Yeah. We talked earlier about the various genres of music that you're proficient in. Is there one favorite? Because you mentioned heavy metal earlier. And I don't know if that's your favorite, but, or opera could be your favorite, but is there one genre of music?
Yeah. My favorite genre to sing is like 80s rock stuff. Would be like Bon Jovi, Van Halen, that kind of music. That's my favorite.
Bon Jovi, Van Halen, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Bon Jovi, Van Halen. So,
but that would be my favorite. And then I have a lot of other different songs. Like one of my favorite songs to sing is Nessun Dorma, which is an opera piece. But I don't know if I could do a whole night of opera things, because even when we were with the Las Vegas Tenors, we did what was called popera. So we did pop songs, made them into opera. So it was a nice blend of all that. So,
where did your interest in opera come from?
I've always liked it. I've always, you know, was sort of into it because I love show tunes too. I love Broadway music. I grew up New Jersey going to see a lot of Broadway musicals. My first musical I ever saw was Cats. So I love that kind of genre as well. I didn't really get into the opera until I came out here and met Bill Fain. Worked with Clint Holmes. So then we started putting the a few songs together as the tenors, and we were doing a bunch of opera things, and I just loved it. It's so much fun to do that, sing that kind of material with other men or women that can sing the harmonies. And when you get those harmonies and everybody's sounding in tune, it's a great thing.
Do you feel that opera hits you in the heart as opposed to other genres of music?
Well, it all depends on the song, in my opinion, or aria, because they're not considered songs. But like things like operatic songs like Time to Say Goodbye, which is not really an opera, The Prayer, they're in Italian, but those kind of things, certain songs, even that Josh Groban does or Andrea Bocelli, they hit you, you know. Nessun Dorma is the big one, you know what I mean? But you definitely feel the passion, the pain in those.
Do you think you would like to, I mean, you're real busy now, but do you think that part of what you want to do is also go on tour? And when I say go on tour, travel and perform in various locales around.
Yeah, I'm actually putting together a show to just start doing that right now. I was just talking about this last night with Glenn.
Oh, mind reader. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. I'm putting together a show right now, and I was working on it a little bit today, about my life and how I grew up with cerebral palsy and the things that I went through and the struggles and the triumphs and all that. And you know, to where I am today. And through music, I don't know, I guess you want to call it inspirational speaking. I'm putting together a package right now on this show, and I'm hoping to sell it around the country and go back out on the road, because I haven't done that in a while. I mean, I had kids. Now my kids are older. They're 20 and 18.
Yeah, they can handle themselves.
I can get back out on the road.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Well, would you do it as a solo act, or would you take along some musicians, or you have it structured?
Definitely a music director. A lot of these places, you know, you pick up local guys to, because you have a book, you know, with the music in it, and you bring a music director to lead everybody, because to travel with a whole band is expensive.
Yeah. You know?
So if you have a book, you travel with two people, you get everybody else that are locals from those areas.
Yeah. Some entertainers will travel with a core group, maybe three guys or four.
Yeah. I mean, if you're making a lot of money and doing that,
you can budget for it. Yeah. So certainly in that sense, but that makes sense. Yeah. If you've got the musical director with us, you don't have to worry about that part. He rehearses the local musicians. And then it works that way. Well, because your life is so interesting, have you thought about, besides presenting it in the way you just talked about, have you thought about writing a book?
People have told me to do that, but I'd have to work with a writer, because I'm not a great writer. I mean, I guess I could put it into what is that thing? ChatGPT or whatever.
ChatGPT.
It'll write my novel. But I would like to work with somebody about, a writer and word things correctly and things like that, where I could dictate certain things. But that would be an interesting task. I mean, I have a lot that has happened to me, fantastic and bad, and more fantastic been bad, which is good.
I guess it's right. The plus side, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
But I think it would be a pretty good story. Yeah.
Do you think that the struggles that you've had and the challenges that a lot of people would have just folded or just not persevered, maybe that would be the better way to approach it, but you have, and you've thrived with it. So is there advice that you can give people as to how you dealt with that? You think that might be a universal suggestion?
You can't really dwell on, it's like a golfer. Like, I mean, or a guy who's in a slump, a baseball player who strikes out 10 times in a row. I mean, you think about it, it's like, you know, you're in a golf tournament and you get a double bogey and a bogey. Now you're already three behind. It's like, what do I do now? So all you can do is keep playing. And hopefully the next day or maybe even the next week, the next year, it gets better. You get better. And you do things a little differently, and you'll learn. So you learn what didn't work, you learn what did work, and you just expand on that.
But the the key thing is you get out of bed and you do it, whether it succeeds or not.
We don't really have a choice. I mean, the thing is, you can crawl in the corner and be miserable, or you can enjoy life. I mean, there's a lot to enjoy.
You know, and that simple phrase or two that you just gave, I think that will help a lot of people watching and listening, because it's very simplistic, but true.
And my faith in God, gets me through.
Yeah.
It really does.
That makes for, before I let you go, what are some of the things you'd like to do other than what you're talking about, traveling the country and speaking and performing? Are there other things that you haven't had a chance to do? Maybe not necessarily in the professional world, but in your private world, such as travel to some place or do something that you've not done. Are there a couple of those type of things that are, to use that phrase, the bucket list?
I want to win a Super Bowl. No. That would be nice, right? Yeah, that's my dream.
Again?
Yeah. Well, my Eagles won last year.
Okay.
I've been all over Europe, and I've just been talking about going to Italy. Of course, I'm half Italian. I'm half Irish. My mom was Irish, but my Italian, I would love to go there. I've been all over Europe. I've been to England, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, France, Greece, but I've never been to Italy.
Amazing. So I thought it would be one of the first places you'd be.
No, because every time I've been to Europe, it's been for work. I've never been on vacation. So I want to just go take a vacation and eat a lot.
That's a great way to leave it. I love it. My guest has been Mark Giovi. He'll be performing at the Maxim Jazz this Thursday, July 3rd. And for more information, go to Maxim Jazz. And you could follow Mark on Facebook. And Mark, what's the other place you're going to be at again? You're going to be at
the Italian American Club. It's the tap house night. It's a lot of fun. It's a dance party. And that's July 13th from 7 to 10.
Great. Well, Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Ira.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey, Las Vegas. Anything you want us to be.